Featuring James Baldwin,
Adelaide Hawkins,
and Rob James.
Join everyone, join us here. All of us at the Knights of the Round Table. The Round Table is, of course, a Toyota. And the table of Seb Ogier, because we all bow before him, not only as the victor out of Croatia, but as Macron's newly knighted man. Yes, he is a sir. Yes, he absolutely crushed it in Croatia. And you're here to crush it with us, because it is a Croatia review, a Portugal preview in classic Listen to My Calls fashion. And I'm joined to do both of those things with my friends and yours, Rob James. Hello, mate.
Hello, I'm just sizzling away some chivapi and paella in celebration of this fusion round. And love nothing more than a review and a preview.
And of course, joining us full time now is Adelaide Hawkins. Hello, Adelaide.
Hello, I finally have my name in the intro, so this is a big moment for me.
There is a lot to get through, of course, including and not limited to Formo absolutely crushing it. And by it, I mean a anti-cut device and then the power stage. And of course, we've got Australians coming up, and it's very exciting to be here. So let's get into it, shall we? Listen to My Calls Croatia review and Portugal preview.
Listen to My Calls.
Before we get into, of course, if you're listening, you have no idea what's happened in the rally yet, so we won't spoil it just yet. But let's, Adelaide, your prediction. It was Adrian Formo, because I really want him to win. You also said it's annoying that Thierry will probably win, and then you finally landed on Taka for the win. How do you feel about your predictions?
You know what? They all run in, one in their own right. Well, maybe Thierry. Adrian, power stage, that's one of the best things I've ever seen. Mm. What a moment. Him just coming on through. Oh, so fast. It was so crazy. Thierry, well, he was almost there. He was close. No, actually, he won Sunday. Did he not win Sunday?
That's a sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit reference if ever I've seen it is Taka in this round, quite honestly, Adelaide. Rob, you were not committed at all to an answer, so you said Thierry, Elfin, Seb. That's the weekend. And to be fair, that is how they landed, just not in that order. And I am going to put myself at the top of this podium because I very clearly said Seb Ogier would come back hunting for a win after Monaco. Rob, let's just roll through it, shall we? Because Seb Ogier, as I mentioned in the opening there, he is a knight. 100 now WRC podiums, just incredible.
Oh, exactly. Is there a difference in terms of knighthoods around the world? I mean, is it a monsieur that Sebastian gets now, or is the Sir universal? Is it the same as the British Commonwealth versus, you know, if I could get a, if can you buy like a knighthood in sort of like a small island? You know how like you can. There's always that myth that you can just become a lord in the UK by just owning a plot of land. You can be a lord for like £3 or something. you can win it in a packet of Werther's Originals, you know. So, is there like a similar service to that where you can just buy a sir? It's like the Vegas weddings. But no, congratulations to Sebastian. It's not very often that I think rally drivers get that kind of, I guess, honour. I mean, I don't recall the last knighted WRC person in the sport.
Has there ever been someone who's been knighted in WRC?
That is a great pub trivia question, Adelaide. Ooh. I'm not sure. If only we had
Google.
So, Fro, on the Discord, if you know if anyone else has been knighted in the WRC.
What he's been knighted with, just for clarification, is that he's been awarded the Legion of Honour, which is the highest decoration you can get in France. Wow. And it reads, awarded by the head of state to individuals who have displayed exceptional merit in service to the nation, whether in military or civilian capacities. That's awesome, really.
That's pretty up there. Surely Sebastian Loeb got one. Surely.
Has to have done, surely.
But
For his 100th podium before they gave it to him?
Yeah, well, now that you've done that, finally we can give this to you. Yes, this story came out on the 3rd of May. So, yes, post-race, which is very exciting for him.
Sebastian Loeb was made Knight of the Legion of Honour in 2009 by the then President Nicolas Sarkozy. So,
wow.
But what I always enjoy going through the citations of these kind of awards, because I've seen people awarded sort of, you know, honours of merit because of their services to dance sport, for example. So I'd like to think that Sebastian Loeb, I'd like to think someone went Sebastian Loeb for his services to gymnastics, and yes. Sebastian is also a keen race car driver. I would love it to think that that's his Legion of Honor. It actually goes to something completely unrelated, but yeah, no, it's nice that Sebastian Ogier has been added to that list as well. So I would say that France is on the clubhouse leaderboard of rally drivers that have ever been bestowed such an honour before. But I'm happy to be proven wrong.
The one thing we can be certain is that no one in the Alpine F1 team is getting a knighthood anytime soon. Adelaide, Seb was not dominant necessarily for the entire of this event. If you go and look at the stage winner website page on the WRC website, it is Belgian flags ahoy, because Thierry was very much on it. Elfin was also not to the same point, but very much on it in his own right. Thierry had 9 stage wins. Seb only had 3. So goes to show just what can happen in an event like this.
It was quite amazing how quickly everything changed. I felt like Elfin and Thierry were just neck and neck for so much of the weekend. And then you blink and all of a sudden, no more. Both of them obviously had their issues on the same stage. Yeah, Seb just made light of it. It was actually quite amazing. There's a couple of shots of him when Seb was gunning for it. It was quite a close one. And then I think whoever we thought was going to win, Thierry, didn't. So
that's right. Well, Thierry led much of the rally, and it was really, really tight between Elfin and Thierry. It was so close. I think there was at one point they were, I think, less than a second apart after a handful of stages. And for Elfin as well, to only be, 9.7 seconds off Sebastian Loeb in the victory for the rally, he probably got bloody, 100. Oh, did I say Loeb? Oh,
yeah.
Come back, Loeb.
I'm just thinking about his services to gymnastics. I apologise. but for Elfin to be 10 seconds off, I don't know if that's a positive or a negative for Elfin that he was so close to victory. I'd almost be more frustrated. You'd almost be like, oh well, if I was 47 seconds off the pace, it is what it is. But to be 9.7, that's like 2 good stages that he could have done it in as well. And I think he, critically too, he struggled on the power stage as well, of which, by the way, our boy, Adrian Formo, man, so good. He had his huge issues again, I think the day before, and rode through like a concrete block or something ridiculous and absolutely destroyed his suspension. So that was a bit of a blemish on his record to date, but he made up for it tenfold in the power stage. So I think he can walk away from that rally reasonably happy, I guess, despite the fact, I think, in the results, Gregoire Munster actually was ahead of him just by virtue of Adrian having those critical issues. But I think he can be pretty him and M Sport can be reasonably optimistic after that weekend too. But for Elfin and Thierry, our championship front runners, they're again sort of, beholden to the point structure keeping their championship hopes alive. But I guess with with Sebastian, not Loeb, Ogier taking the win, it's kind of like, well, okay, it was the best of the rest, and Elfin Evans won the full-timers class of the WRC.
It's hard though for Elfin. He did say, Rob, after the event that he really enjoyed how close it was. He was only 9.7 seconds adrift of Seb at the final point, which is close. Thierry, 45.8 then. But for Elfin, he has to really we say this every kind of episode, don't we? It feels like he's stuck in second, which might be enough for him in the long run to get the championship if Thierry continues to suffer some issues like he did this weekend.
That is an excellent point. The reliability of the Toyota is maybe what's going to make or break Elfins's championship, because or more so Thierry Neuville's aspirations for the championship. He still leads the championship. He's 86 points to Evans's 80. Adrian Formo, remarkably, still a mathematical dark horse with 59 points to his name. So it's, it's still a lot to play for, let's face it, that top two, because Oid Tanak's championship aspirations are just lessening with each event. I think if he has a bad showing in Portugal, and by bad I mean like fourth or below, then he probably has to contend with the fact he's going to be playing a supporting role for the rest of the season to help Thierry and critically Hyundai score that maiden WRC driver's title for all concerned. So a bit to play for. We're getting at that sort of sharp end of the mid-season where the long-term, I guess, form of drivers is going to be set for the rest of the year.
I really love how this point system is working, and I know there were plenty of detractors from it early days before we went racing. Still are, which is ridiculous to me, because Formo, who had a terrible rally before the rally stage, sorry, before the power stage, because of that anti-cut device terrifying the underside of his car and all of his tyres, meant that he could come back on Sunday with a completely fresh attitude and absolutely crush it. And in this kind of way where, and the crowds loved it too, he's not deflated. M Sport absolutely love it. The team principal and the boss Milliner has now said he's more than capable of winning rallies outright. The narrative Adelaide of changing, we're just going to start at the beginning of the year and we'll just settle everyone into M Sport Ford. We'll see how it goes. It's all right. We don't need to do much. And then Formo's change of pace has been remarkable.
Oh, I've loved it. It's been so good. I mean, the anti-cut device did its job.
Yes.
It did stop him from cutting. It may have cut underneath the car though. However, I think it was like he had nothing. Because he was so far down the order, it meant the power stage he could actually perform like a power stage where he could just gun it and it didn't matter, and it was superb. It was just like Thierry's shot at the power stage at Kenya. Like Thierry was going for it and it was scary. Very, very similar. I cannot believe how much trust they put in those cars to keep it on the road, because I just the entire time I thought he's going to crash. But it was superb. And I think, correct, it is this kind of launch pad situation where he is not just Adrian Formo, oh, yeah, he's doing rally or whatever. He's actually a name that people are now starting to know and eventually, you know, hopefully a household name. And he has personality too. I think that's the thing, is not just like finishing a stage and being like, oh yeah, it was okay, or not saying anything or whatever. He's actually making it a bit fun and bringing energy into the championship, which it sometimes needs. Because it can get a bit the same, you know. You finish a stage, you get interviewed, you all say the same thing, but he's making it interesting and he's young too. So I think it's got to be all up from here. I mean, I don't want to put too much pressure on him. Not that he's listening to this yet. But I don't want to put too much pressure on him, because more pressure means, I don't know, maybe you become very serious like the rest of them. But he's just having fun. And that's what matters. And I think that's what's going to grow that. And hopefully one day, you know, he'll win a championship.
Yeah, he said after the rounds that we've been able to push a lot. We've made one mistake, a small mistake with big consequences, which is a shame, but it's like that. You have to be perfect everywhere. And I love that kind of attitude. You're not going to rake yourself over the coals for it, because, again, you have the power stage. So, and that's what he said. We decided to fix it and push really hard on the power stage to score points. We got the maximum points, which is great, in his first power stage win. It's just positive. Rob, what movie does he need to quote, though, going into the next round in Portugal? Do we maybe need to hear some Tropic Thunder? Does he maybe need to get out there and after the, you know, opens the window and says, I'm a lead farmer, motherfucker?
No, absolutely not. What ludicrous sort of choice of films. The most logical one is, of course, Taken, where he says where he gets the guy to translate good luck and he goes, "You don't remember me. I told you I would find you." If I was Adrian Formo, I'll try to weave in Taken as his next film of choice.
You should send him a message, see if he'll do it.
That is.
Oh, he would. He would absolutely. But the thing I love about Adrian Formo is he looks a little bit like Charles Leclerc, but his reactions aren't Charles Leclerc. He doesn't call himself, "I'm so stupid. I cannot believe I'm so stupid." He's incredibly positive and cheerful. I know this is a chockers episode with back-to-back rallies, but something shit me in the week. I read an article by a certain publication, how it's like, "Oh, this is what WRC needs to do to be cool. They need to look at drifting and whatever." There's nothing that shits me more than people in rallying. Rallying, I've said this before on this podcast, it is the most glass half empty, woe is me kind of people where it's just never good enough. Hashtag not enough. Never enough. And so it's always like, "Oh, what are we doing? We're not doing anything." We're in the middle. We've got guys like Adrian Formo who are coming through the ranks, and it's just going to take time. People like that, more of that, it just naturally flows through the system. So instead of just bitching about, "Oh shit, we need more free things," let's just look at the positives that already exist in the WRC, shall we? So anyway, that's just a very quick rant from me and very one of my weakest ones, I have to admit, but anyway, just thought I would just add that in there.
No, but I couldn't agree with you more. There is so much anti-rally from the rally community. It is beyond me. You have to get around the sport totally and push it along. It is the best it's been in a very long time, I think. It's the best to watch. The TV package is fantastic. Everyone's happy. They'll talk to the interview on the ground. Molly's doing a great job. So, you know, it's hard. And I'm looking forward, as Rob said, to all of these young guns coming in. And like this coming weekend, we've got this unknown driver, Chris Meek. He's coming back. I mean, sorry, he's coming into the sport for the first time. Yes. And isn't that lovely? One thing I do want to, while we're still talking about rallying itself, one thing I want to talk about Adelaide is Oit Tanak's little excursion off completely off the road, and somehow managed to not really damage anything, was able to drive off. That was like, "Hello, I am driving a Pajero in the Dakar."
I think I saw that on TikTok. Remarkable. I feel like I was saying before with Adrian Formo on the power stage, I just don't know how they do it. I think Sebastian Ogier also have a moment where he was off the cliff. He was actually just not on the road anymore, and just surprises me every single time. And I think that's the thing when we talk about building up the sport. I think some people complain because they want it to be a certain way, but are you not looking what's in front of you? It is amazing. What people are doing is amazing. The fact that every stage is live is amazing. And that you barely, they have a plane flying in the sky and it works. And I think that appreciation and everything like that needs to continue. But yes, I don't know how these cars stay on the road, but they do.
We're a positive podcast, except for people who are negative about the sport. Then we are very negative about them. Just to round out the top 10 from the Croatia rally. Of course, we had Seb in first, Elfyn second, Thierry was third, Oit amazingly fourth after that big exploring off the track. Takamoto Katsuta didn't have a good time around this time around, finished in fifth. Andreas Mikkelsen seemed to have a little bit more of an understanding about how this generation of car works. Grégoire Munster finishing ahead of Adrian Formo, as we already mentioned, because of that big cut. Now, Rob, the big exciting news, WRC2. Nikolai in his C3, smashing it, 38 seconds ahead of Johann Rossel, George Russell's cousin, of course, yes, as you mentioned last time. Yeah. But this Rally 2 pack was so incredibly tight, and to have two C3s at the front I thought was quite nice.
It is remarkable. It is it's kind of a nice, I guess, full circle moment for the Citroën rally package, because let's face it, I think the C3 is nearing the end of its life cycle as well, and as is Citroën's time. They may have departed from the top flight of the sport in formerly WRC and Rally 1 subsequently, but the C3 Citroën, I'm quite impressed as to how it is clearly the, I guess, the weapon of choice when it comes to tarmac rallies. Obviously, it performed very well in Monte Carlo, and it's obviously performed well here in Croatia as well. So, yeah, given that it's near the end of its life cycle, it's pretty impressive. Gus Greensmith was the first non-C3, of course, in the I guess, flurry of Fabias that are around the world, but he was still the minute off the pace. Him through the power stage, by the way, my God, that is, I want to say that is maybe the WRC equivalent of the, you know, the Greg Murphy lap of the gods around Bathurst. Oh. He absolutely wrung the neck of that Fabia. I think if you watch back the live coverage, of which I don't know why people complain about it, it's live. It is. We don't even get sponsored by them. See, this is not even us sucking up to anything. I'm just saying it as a genuine fan. Anyway.
Totally. Yes.
But Gus Green's in the car in the on the cool down on the stop zone was talking with his co-driver and said that was maybe the best stage I've ever done in my life.
Wow.
It's that kind of thing where you're just in the moment, and it's like the center lap around Monaco where you completely forget yourself and you are the car in that point. And I feel like he was very much an extension of that. He could have, you know, Froh could have been right. We could, if we were ever going to get a WRC2 stage win, winning a power stage, I should say, that could have been it. But obviously Formo's stage was that slightly bit better. Maybe in terms of the rally one, that was the lap of the gods with Formo.
And now to our favourite part, JWRC 99.5.
Let's check it out.
JWRC.
It's Aussie Watch.
Aussie Pride.
I know. What a superb weekend for our Aussie Taylor Gill. I feel like he really recovered after, I mean, it was a bit unlucky in Sweden. It was quite competitive as well. I think it's quite good to see, given their best shot. I feel like they didn't get as much broadcast coverage as they maybe did at Sweden, but that's okay. It was still great. They all did well. I didn't think many of them didn't finish.
Well, I feel like Romit Jurgensen, who ultimately won the JWRC class, I feel like that, at least Romit and Taylor, they tend to be kind of always close to each other in whatever rally they do. They're sort of on the same sort of trajectory in that FIA Rally Star contest as well. And for Taylor, I guess for him, he doesn't need to be winning every single rally. I think we've shown it's like watching F2 and F3. If you have a group of about, you know, five or even six drivers that are always up there, it often works out for the best. And I feel like that this generation of JWRC drivers, I don't know, there's just something about them that does scream that they're going to be some megastars for the future. And hopefully by the time, you know, more manufacturers come in and, you know, we're reasonably optimistic for that over the next few years, they're going to raise the attention of those potential teams, and they're going to be future front runners of our sport when Sammy Pajari is on his fourth world championship. So it's, I'm reasonably optimistic for those guys, and you know, not just because of Taylor, but also that general cohort. I think I think that Rally Star thing is again one of those things that's going to take a generation to really see the benefits from for the WRC, but for Taylor as well. I mean, for as an Aussie who of course, you know, typically is bread and butter for any rally driver is going to be gravel rallying. He does have a go-karting background as well, so for him, I guess tarmac is, I guess, not foreign to him. So I guess that was a good pathway for him to, and probably explains why he's done pretty well on tarmac the last couple of seasons in Europe too.
Who would have thought that a program like FIA Rally Star is actually working? Not to discredit the fact that the program is bad or anything. I just think sometimes these things pop up where it's a, hey, give this a go. If you're pretty good, you'll get a chance. And you know, Taylor Gill and a lot of the others have gone through that process, and now they're actually having an opportunity to perform, and it's working.
Like, yeah,
it's really good, and that's what you want. And I think it's definitely going to bring up that new generation and find talent that maybe wouldn't have been found before because of one way or another, money, time, location. So yeah, it's good. I'm happy.
It's so important to have that kind of thoroughfare for younger talent that's not just money driven and not just pay driver driven. Porsche Carrera Cup do a good job of that all over the world too, to get people from random countries like here in Australia into Germany to do proper Porsche sprints and all kinds of amazing things. Now, the reason why I sold everyone a dummy is because I got distracted by a Renault Clio. He did incredibly well because he actually, which is hilarious to me, he's a WRC 3, technically came second in the WRC 3. Matteo, who I was trying to find. I don't think I saw any Clio line. In fact, there's two of them. Because Igor, I sold you the RS line, and then maybe this is a late entry, Clio Rally 3. I didn't see this last time, Rob. But Matteo, WRC 3 was just behind by about, 1 minute and 33 seconds behind the Fiesta Rally 3, the JWRC of Robert Jurgensen. Then Taylor Gill, obviously second for the JWRC. But Clio's, two of them.
Jeez, it makes the perfect rally car. I watched it on the stage and I'm like, geez, this is just such a natural fit. It's so frustrating. You almost wish you just could just have your lion's share of manufacturers in Rally 1 because, yeah, the Clio and even the Megane or whatever would make the perfect rally car of the future. So luckily, I guess with the rules with Rally 1 potentially, in the future, opening up to different sort of shapes. We're not going to be sort of, resigned or stuck with your classic rental car specification vehicles. Renault would be a perfect fit, to be honest, because let's face it, they're going shit house in F1. It's time to come to full circle and come to WRC.
Bring it back.
They'll embrace it.
Championship points picture. Right, so this is interesting because Thierry's still in the lead by 6 points, 86 to Elfyn Evans in 80. Adrian Formo, as we've already mentioned, he's third, 59 points. So, I mean, you know, it's not terribly close for a championship battle for him, but if he is consistent from now on, and consistency, as Rob has already said, may be key in a championship picture, that might be interesting. Oit Tanak, 53 points in fourth. Seb Ogier, fifth, 45 points. Then comes Tacker, one of the full-time drivers with 45 points. Then the part-timers of Kalle Rovanperä with 31, Esa-Pekka Lappi with 23, Andreas Mikkelsen, 14, and Oliver Solberg is in 10th with 12 points. So Adelaide, whilst we might not get a WRC 2 podium, it's still very interesting to me to see Ollie Solberg. I'm sure he'll be absolutely over the moon about it too, being in the top 10 of the championship points picture.
Oh, no, not good enough. Not good enough.
Should be first.
He should be. Yes, correct. It's quite impressive. I mean, he didn't compete in Croatia. Can't speak. So the fact he is sitting in 10th is amazing. I do think the point system is interesting. I know Elfyn Evans has come out a little bit upset about it, which is fair enough. I think he did lose out a little bit in Croatia because of it. But if you look at the top standings, the top eight, the times versus the points is actually different. I can't remember how different, but it is different. I'm unsure about that, but it is. And I think that's it's playing its part. It is playing its part. The fact that Thierry didn't even win the rally and he's still leading, and Elfyn is close, but not close enough. It's very impressive. And I think it would be very interesting to see how the rest of the season go. As I have said before, there should be someone who is purely focus on point strategy. And I feel like it is shifting. The discussion is getting more towards that, especially on the broadcast as well. So be interesting to see how the rest of the season goes.
Rob, is there any surprises for you in the way this picture looks at the moment?
To be honest, I think it's really Andreas Mikkelsen. I think he's kind of getting away with underperforming quite significantly at Hyundai. I mean, it's only really a 9-point deficit between him and Lappi, and Lappi won a rally as well. So it's a bit of an unfair comparison there. But Andreas is, he was clearly kind of struggling with the Hyundai. So for him, he really needs to up the ante and hope for the best for a few. Is he competing in Portugal this weekend? I'm not sure. Probably not. So
he's not, no.
No. So for whatever his next round is, and I think, because I think Molly or someone alluded saying, oh, when's your next round? And he said, oh, we'll see. So he doesn't really know either. So he, for his next round, he's really got a lift.
Listen to my calls.
So let's have a little break. Let's have a little break of talking about racing because I'm interested in your whole thoughts about what the best looking car is so far in 2024. I'm not just talking about liveries, although we can mention them. We've had four rounds now. We're about to go into the fifth. I have decided, just to start this off, because I was watching with great adoration of the absolute domination by Formo in the power stage, of how much that puma looks incredibly happy. If you look at the front of it, it's got a big – imagine Richard Hammond on Top Gear going, this is a Peugeot, and he looks big smiling face. That's what it looks like. And if you look at it, it's got a face and it's so happy. And I was so happy that he was having a good time. So I am voting, bizarrely enough, for the Ford, because I just love that it looks happy. That's how ridiculous I am. Adelaide?
You've really sprung this on me. I cannot – every single livery I've ever seen in my entire life has completely emptied
gone
from my brain.
While you stew on that, I'll give you a negative, because negativity is always way more fun and exciting than positivity, because I agree with you on the Ford. I think the Ford is wonderful. But I think my least favourite livery, and this may be slightly controversial – I don't really like the Oliver Solberg livery. I don't like the whole, I don't like the race suits. I don't like, the way the car looks. For me, it's just a bit too busy, too much going on. Call me old school. That may be a little bit Richard Burns rally anorak of me to be saying that, but, it doesn't really float my boat. It looks a little bit ridiculous, quite frankly. But I have to admit, though, the livery game has been pretty strong, I think, for throughout the field, to be honest. So at least if we're talking Rally 1 outright, certainly the Fords are, I think I'd describe them, at the start of the year, a little bit too privateer for my liking, but it's bright, it's vibrant, and I guess the black GR on the Yaris is kind of growing on everyone a little bit, because I think that's the GR is the big centerpiece of that livery, and despite the terrain and also the effects of the sun, the black car hasn't really slowed down or affected the performance of the Yaris, so I guess good for them. And also the Hyundai, they've had about, four events, they've had about six design iterations. So for me, still the Monte Carlo special, the Thierry Neuville commemorative edition is still my favourite out of the bunch. But in terms of the race suits, though, I reckon it's the current specification that I'm kind of liking as well, to be honest.
Thanks for reminding me about Oliver Solberg's livery. Because I think that is my favourite livery, which is so funny.
That's okay. That's fine.
You clearly despise it so much it deserved a mention.
Yeah.
I don't despise it. I just say it's not my cup of tea. It's not my favourite. I'm sure lots of people will like it. I'm sure lots of people will
hate it
conversely. You know what? It's fine.
I'm voting that. I like the design. In comparison, I like the big letters, but when they're moving fast, can you really see the big letters?
No. Mm. It's a zebra drinking a can of Monster. That is the only way to define livery looks.
I mean, the Hyundai's nice. The Craig Breen one was very sweet.
Mm.
I do love the orange on it. I can't wait to see that one day in real life. But, yeah, I don't know. I think Oliver Solberg. Sorry, Rob.
There you go. Well, lovely to surprise you with a question about our own favourite things. Let us now, though, take a look ahead, shall we? Because it is time to get excited about Portugal. Adelaide, it is this weekend. So if you're listening to this podcast, it means it's probably we're either day two or it's just about to start. So quick, get your WRC subscriptions in and start with that. It's the first proper gravel race of the year. Adelaide, how excited are you for that?
Yes, it is. First gravel rally for the year, which is very exciting. When I say gravel rally, I mean proper gravel rally. I don't think there's really been, I don't know if you'd call Kenya gravel. So, yeah, it's very exciting. I feel like we're really starting the actual season now. It's first round of the season. It's okay. for someone who likes gravel rally quite a lot.
Yep.
But, yes, looking forward to it. It's going to be interesting to see how all the cars go, how many punctures we're going to get. How many people are going to slide too far. It's my first proper Portugal rally. I didn't watch it last year, don't remember it at all. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to watching.
And there is a lot of really interesting things to look at for this weekend, including, Adelaide, a full suite of Toyotas. And that by that I mean Ogier is in, Taka is in, Callie Rovanpera is in, and Elfyn Evans is in. So if that is not the full suite of Toyota absolutely wanting to send it, I don't know what is.
That's going to be big. So it's going to be Toyota 1, 2, 3, 4.
Four and five and six, just with rounding errors.
Out there now. No, that's going to be very interesting because I feel like it's going to be a very strong weekend for Toyota. Thierry. Oh, no.
There's a future branding partnership.
No, but I do think it's going to be a strong weekend for them. That's going to be very exciting. It will be cool to see because I hope Rovanpera gets pushed a little bit as well. So there's a bit of a bit of drama.
Rob, a full Toyota suite, as we just said, Ogier, Rovanpera, Taka, as well as Elfyn. This is a massive showing for them.
Oh, they're clearly absolutely shaking at the heels and nervous about what Hyundai is threatening there. Because it's only like 6 points between Elfyn and Thierry or whatever it is. And so clearly they've got to bring out the whole army for this one as well. So it's it's a bit random that Toyota have decided to bring out everybody to complete a shift. Or maybe it's just, I don't know, maybe it's a quirk. Maybe we've got an uneven number of rallies this season and contractually this is the one round. It's like a leap year where everyone has to sort of turn up for this one. But the thing that I'm not looking forward to for the rally, again, if we focus on the negatives, as is the rallying way, the thing I'm not looking forward to the most is, I reckon, how many people are going to try to reference the location of Fafe? It's going to be the new Fesh Fesh. You watch the amount of times Fafe is going to be crowbarred into just anything. So we'll be on Fafe watch for this weekend.
Market once down already for me doing exactly that. 9 WRC1 cars and Danny Sordo, Rob, is back for Hyundai. He's in the third car. He's 190th. Oh, yes. FIA WRC start, and for the last three seasons in this round, he hasn't finished off the podium.
Yeah, he's a huge stalwart of the WRC, which is remarkable. That I remember when he was still a Citroen Junior Burger back in the day. So for him to have had this longevity in WRC is pretty impressive. So I can't wait for the Spanish president to offer him a Legion of Honor as well award too. So #SirDannySordo. FTW. So he's back as well. And then we've got some other sort of returning names as well. Chris Meek as well. He's remarkably on board as well for this weekend too. And I guess he's he's in WRC2 for this weekend, Chris Meek?
Mm. Yeah. And what I really enjoy about what he's been doing recently is just big old door-to-door racing. I think Nitro Rallycross is where he's been spending a lot of his time. Friend of the show, he probably doesn't listen to it, but I'm going to say it anyway, Andrew Coley, who commentates on that, is a big fan of Chris. And, of course, he won here, I think, in 2016 and has been a stalwart, as you said. This is another stalwart of the Portugal rounds. He loves this rally and Portugal more generally.
That's it. Yeah, he loves it so much. He's a Hyundai driver in the Portuguese Rally Championship. So quite a bizarre sort of career move for Chris, but nonetheless it pays the bills. So that's why it's kind of like his de facto home rally. Ireland's not getting one in the WRC, so Portugal's going to be his adopted home rally for this weekend. So I'd be curious to see how he goes too, because I think we spoke earlier about what with the Citroen C3s, how well they go on tarmac. I think it's really, I'm actually really looking forward to the WRC2 fight in this one. I think we say this a lot now, that we're looking forward to how WRC2 unfolds. But, you know, Hyundai, I think they had the upgrades or the birthday parts for the Rally 2 spec cars at the last round. So hopefully we get to see the benefits of that. And so I think Chris Meek will be a bit of a disruptor if the Hyundai is really on song for that one too. But the other one too is Pepe Lopez. Now, we saw him in the last couple of rounds aboard the Skoda Fabia, but he's done almost the unthinkable as Pepe Lopez. He's changing cars.
He's changing.
He's ditching the Skoda Fabia. He's replacing it with another F. And that's a Ford Fiesta Rally 2. So that's good for the Fiestas, to be honest, because they're probably a little bit under underutilized, undervalued compared to even now the new flash hotshot GR Yaris's that are now on the scene, disrupting that marketplace. So really, for this weekend, I guess the i20 and the Fiesta Rally 2 cars, they're going to be on notice a little bit, especially with Pepe Lopez getting some pretty good results in that Fabia. So whether he can replicate it in the Fiesta Rally 2, we'll see by hopefully this time next week.
And looking at WRC 2, 39 entries Adelaide, and one of them is an Australian. It is fantastic to see a Bates. In fact, if you just scroll to page 2 of the entry list, Lewis Bates is right at the very top of the entry sheet. It just makes you feel like you're at home, Adelaide.
It's so exciting. I know he's gone there to basically test the car before bringing it back over.
Yep.
Which is very exciting for the ARC as well. But yeah, 39 WRC 2. Now, how many will be at the end? That's what I want to know, because 39's a lot, and those roads, they're going to get pretty munched up. I think from what I've heard, Portugal does get pretty rough, but it is very exciting, and exciting for Lewis Bates as well and Anthony McLaughlin.
Yeah, both very solid in their own right, Rob, and of course brothers Harry and Lewis Bates running Yaris's, and this is Lewis, as Adelaide said, going over to pick it up. What a way to go and pick up your GR Yaris by being in a WRC event. Harry's probably going, oh, well, hang on a second. I just went over for a cheeky test at the beginning of the year. I didn't even get a WRC round.
We'll try after you buy in this case. So I guess it's you want to put it back on the shipping container nice and dusty without any damage, so to speak. So hopefully, yeah, it's a good showing for Lewis. And I think Adelaide and I, we kind of watched a lot of the some of the testing that was going on in the lead up to here. I'm sure they were testing across Fafé and other Portuguese locations. But the thing that really struck us was, it was not to get all Sky Sports F1, but it looked very much like you were in Australia. I guess the scenery and maybe even the road surface. I'd be curious to see how it compares. And so I guess for someone like Lewis, and because they may very well sort of, you know, recognize it from Cirsid Forests at home.
And there are some Rally 4 cars. Nine of which are Peugeot 208s, Rob. So clearly we've had the Citroëns for one rally, and now everyone's decided to bring out their Peugeot 208s from the back of the garage, their Porto garages.
Listen to my calls.
All right, let's wrap up this episode, team, with some predictions. Adelaide Hawkins, let us start with you. I'm speaking as slowly as I possibly can before throwing to you to allow you to have some thoughts ahead of who you think will just do WRC or Rally 1, whatever you want to call it. Who is going to be your outright winner this weekend?
Cue the French anthem, please.
Ooh.
I feel like I just want to keep saying Adrian Formeau until he does.
Okay,
but
great.
That's probably not realistic.
That's okay.
Let's just say for fun, Elfyn Evans.
Elfyn Evans. Ooh, well, that's, you know, that's a bit spicy for a first victory for this season. What about you, Rob?
I'm genuinely stumped as to who will take this out. For me, I think I'm going to go with the safe and boring option of Calle Rovanpera.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like he has a lot more to prove, and probably is a bit frustrated about where he's currently sitting. So Callie will be strong, but I mean, Seb only won this rally a couple of weeks ago, so there feels like there might be some consistency and some pace. Of course, a little bit different from where we were, Croatia to Portugal, but he might bring some of that legionnaire. Bloody, I'm a knight, here I am, here we go. But I wonder if you get a special sticker on your car if you're a knight too.
Do they get like a, you know how we have the names on the side of the car?
Yeah.
Do you get some sort of like,
ooh,
special fancy,
we'll have to,
symbol
we'll,
or
we'll take so. That question on notice, and in our review episode of the Portuguese rally, Adelaide. We will discuss that. But that is it for this episode. It has been a pleasure to join all of you as we have dissected all of the important bits from Croatia and previewed all of the important bits for Portugal. If you'd like to get involved with the show, the best thing for you to do is jump onto our Discord server. The link is in the show description, or just go to our website, listen to my calls, and don't forget to subscribe to us on any podcast platform of choice, because we are everywhere. And tell a friend, because it's always nice to share something that isn't that other publication podcast. Until we review the Portuguese rally, I've been James.
I've been Adrian Formo, quoting lines from Taken as Liam Neeson.
And I've been the chair of the Adrian Formo Appreciation Society.
And this has been Listen to My Calls.
Shut up. Don't tell me how to drive.
Listen to My Calls, a Helmet Hair Media production.